The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Jay, we got Charlie, we got you. Hope that you're going to have a great Friday, a great weekend as Cap and I count the days down to the Bears and the Patriots. And, of course, a really good football weekend. Saturday with college football, Sunday with the NFL. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. This hour we'll talk to you about the Bears. Also a little bit about the Bulls, too. Bulls back in action without Zach LaVine. We'll talk about that. Cap's got some information regarding Zach LaVine that he's going to share with us coming up this hour. But nonetheless, the Bears, though, and it's something that we've been hammering home for a while, Cap, when it comes to this Bears team. If you are realistic as a Bears fan, you had to know, okay, no more Pace, no more Matt Nagy. Things are starting to change. And with change comes growing pains. When you have a first-year OC and Getsy, a first-year head coach and Eberflus, first-year GM and Poles, you know things are going to change. But it doesn't necessarily mean that change means instant winner. It can be for some teams, but not for this Bears team. That shows you how far behind the Bears were.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of stunned that you look at our roster to the point where this is not a one-year turnaround. You know, Shea always likes to tell me, in the NFL, you can turn things around like that. Mm-hmm. There isn't enough draft capital in the world to be able to turn this thing around like that. We have zero impact guys offensively on the offensive line. Zero. Tevin Jenkins is okay. He's a nice player. I'm glad he's ours. He's all right. He's not an, oh my God, lockdown left tackle. No. And you can have one of those. The Lions have a really good one in Penei Sewell. Mm-hmm. He's playing on their offensive line. They have three first-round picks in their offensive line, and they're behind us in the standings. Mm-hmm. Adding one piece does not turn you around.
It's true.
We have so much we have to fix on both sides of the ball.
It just takes some time. And again, no one wants to hear about patience. In an impatient society that we live in.
Correct.
We used to call it the microwave society when microwaves were hot.
Correct.
We don't call it microwave society anymore. Now it's just, I need to have gratification yesterday. Mm-hmm. I need to know. I need it right now. Well, that's not how life works, pal. Especially when you're rooting for the Chicago Bears. Again, it is sad that in this city in which everyone comes to the table to the Bears, Sox fans, Cub fans, Sky fans, Cub Sox fans, everyone comes to the table to watch the Chicago Bears, but yet it's another rebuild, and it sucks. I get it.
And we don't have a Christian McCaffrey to trade for a bushel basket of draft picks. We don't.
Mm-mm.
You're going to get very little back for Quinn, Montgomery. Roquan won't bring what you would think he would bring back because he's going to be a free agent. So there's a number of questions on how you do this and how long it will take.
What does that say about the depth chart, by the way, from what you just said, and our conversation with Courtney Cronin in our last half hour?
It says that this is a lengthy process.
That tells you all you need to know about the state of the Chicago Bears. If you want to deal someone for multiple draft picks, you don't have anyone on the roster that you can get that
right
for. What does that say, Cap? I mean, that says a lot for the roster. Listen, some Bears fans may love Robert Quinn, love Roquan Smith, love David Montgomery.
Yeah, good guys and good players.
But you can't swing a McCaffrey deal with anyone in the National Football League based on this roster. Like, I love Roquan Smith, right? Mm-hmm. You know I love Roquan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can be a difference maker even in this iteration of the Bears. At the same time, though, could you get a McCaffrey-type deal for that? I don't think you can.
No, absolutely not.
Robert Quinn, Montgomery. Think about what you think is quality on the Bears. Ajax?
Is there anyone on your team, anyone on the 53, that if you put them on the market, you get a first-round draft pick back?
That's a no. No shot.
Jalen Johnson, maybe?
No shot. Nope. Because now you look at the numbers and say, well, now I'm drafting or I'm making a trade for potential instead of what is potential.
I think you might get a first-round pick for him.
No shot.
Late.
A bad team. No shot. Mm-mm. I don't think you can get that for anyone on this roster, including Roquan Smith.
Oh, definitely not for Roquan because he's going to be a free agent. There's no one on the offense that's you're getting a first-round pick for. Justin hasn't proven enough that somebody would mortgage their future on him. You're not getting that for David Montgomery or Khalil Herbert. You're not getting that for Darnell Mooney. And there's no one on your offensive line. So forget that. There's no other receiver.
Could you have gotten that for Khalil Mack?
No, because you asked them to eat all $64 million remaining.
That's right. When you had a Kicks and where you had Allen Robinson, same thing. Like, none of those guys were worth first-round capital.
Correct.
To another team.
Correct. So on the defensive side of the football, there's Jalen Johnson would be the closest thing to getting a pick 20 to 32 in the first round.
Please, Team X, please, could you take him off my hands?
Yeah, he's a young kid. People don't like to throw at him because he's really talented. You might get the... If somebody said, you know what, we're going to take the Jalen Johnson kid, we're giving up pick number 28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No. You're not getting like a top 10 pick for him. We don't have any really impactful players.
We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields in just a moment here on Cap and Jay Hood. 312-332-3776, our phone number. Your thoughts on the Bears? There he is. In Melrose Park, here's Joey G on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning, Cap. Good morning, Godfather.
Good morning.
How's your morning?
All good now that you're on.
Yeah, don't blow smoke up my ear, you know what.
We're being honest. We love you.
We do.
Well, we love you, too. Number one, I'm 61 years old.
You don't sound 61.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Godfather.
I thought you were 70.
Would you stop? He's not 70. Would you don't take that shot from him, Joey.
What did you say?
He said you sound 70.
70? Okay, anyways, the problem with the fans is the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the 85 Bears. Best thing in my life I've seen. It even tops the six titles with Michael to me. So right now, the only thing we're standing on is Justin Fields. We have to build around Justin Fields, I believe, in all three phases. They finally opened the door for Alanis Morissette. He's gone.
Not Alanis Morissette. Smith Marset.
Yeah, I know. I know who he is. But anyways,
so good.
He's finally gone.
Yep.
My other thing, too, about Belichick, he's a snake. Mm. That press conference, he's got something up his sleeve with Mac Jones and Zappy. I love the Bears getting the eight.
Hmm.
I really do. Love the Bears getting the eight. Last but not least, Cap. Tarport Boss. Band or horse?
Tell me the name of it again.
Tarport Boss.
Tarport Boss is a horse.
You're the man, Ramblin' Willie.
How about that? With Bob Farrington in the sulky.
Cap, I had him when he was just turned 10 years old. I got 2-1 on him in a tough field hoodie.
Yeah.
This horse earned over $2 million.
At Sportsman's?
Yes.
He ran everywhere.
$2 million. He's 10 years old. He went up at 2-1, sat in the four hole. See you later.
Oh, my God. I feel like my dad's still alive talking all this horse racing.
Yeah, he died August 24th, 1995.
He did not, actually.
He was a standardbred.
My dad was not a horse. 312-332-3776 is our telephone. I'm sorry? You're talking about who?
Rambling Willie.
He was great. Is he still doing radio? Let me tell you something right now. Sidebar approach.
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 million.
He's a funny guy, Rambling Ray. Side my ball. You realize something about the NFL? And Snorley, I'm not going to get on you for this. I just want to point this out. When you laid out our picks for 8:15, I'm just pointing this out. You know, Cap, there's only one game this week in which you have two teams that are over 500.
Yeah, it's a crappy NFL weekend.
Well, no, it's a crappy NFL.
That's true.
Now, let's get that out of the way. It's a crappy NFL. You have one game this week that you have two teams over 500, and that's the Colts and Titans. And they're both 3-2. The rest of it is a team, either teams that are 500 or teams that are under 500 taking on one another. That's not a crappy week. Crappy NFL. Everything's 500, as I've been telling you.
But what's the, you said the Colts and Titans?
You know what's funny, though? Isn't that one of the worst games on the board?
To me, that
I have no interest in watching
that. I'm much more intrigued by the Chiefs at the Niners.
Of course.
Who do the Chargers play?
Seattle.
Yeah, that game's okay. I'm much more intrigued, Chiefs at Niners.
Let's see if the Browns can keep it closer to the Ravens. Can the Browns outright win against the Ravens?
Right, that's a good game.
Yeah, but I just want to point that out. In this NFL of yours, that you only have two teams over 500 taking on one another. I know it's early, but my God.
But it's like pizza, right? Like the worst NFL is still the NFL. The worst pizza is still pizza.
Where are the Steelers at this weekend?
They are on Sunday night, I believe.
They take on the Dolphins on NBC.
At Miami. I don't know who's at quarterback. Kenny Pickett's
Tua.
Practice.
Tua's at quarterback for the Dolphins.
I'm talking about for the beloved Steelers.
I'm trying Mitch.
Yeah, Tomlin hasn't named the starter, I don't believe.
Kenny Pickett went back to practice, so I don't know if he hands it back. I think he goes back to Pickett. That's what I think he
does. This is the problem with Mitch Trubisky. You see? Don't you go with the hot hand if some people on sports radio in Pittsburgh go back to the hot hand? Or go back to the kid. Go back to the kid that's growing pains, and you might keep losing out if that's the direction you want to go. Or Mitch just keeps you in the game. He's not going to embarrass you. He'll just keep you in the game.
If I was the coach, I'd go back to Pickett. I've already named him the starter. Okay. You don't lose your job to injury.
You know who else is wondering about whether you go with the hot hand? Our opponent on Monday night.
Yeah, I think he's going to Mac Jones. It's his job.
If it's Mac Jones, I might change my bet.
Really?
Bears not going to win the game. I just want to say maybe closer than 8.
Mac Jones was terrible when he was playing. Terrible. Throwing the ball to the other team, freelancing in the offense.
Sappy was just efficient, man.
And he just did his job. He got in there. He did what he was told. Mac Jones is terrible. If Mac Jones is starting, I am a little more nervous about the Patriots. And I'm picking the Bears either way.
Matt and Streamer, are you ready?
Yes.
You're next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Matt and Streamwood's on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000. Hello, Matt.
Sup, dog?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you, Cap and Hoodie, I understand this rebuild is going, but why do we have to be the worst of the worst? It was a struggle against Houston Texans and the Commanders, and we just got outclassed. And it's just and every analyst that says it, I heard the National, Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max say that, Bill Belichick is licking his chops because this is Mac Jones' get-right game against the Bears, and the same thing for Dak next week in Dallas, that we're always the get-right team. And even though the rebuild, Cap and Hoodie, I'm jealous of the Jets. I saw what they did last week, and I wanted, exactly what Salah said, is that he said the Packers can't hang with them, and they outclassed them. And I'm so jealous that their rebuild, everyone's rebuild, is so far ahead of us, and that we are so far behind that when it comes to free agency, Cap, that we're going to have to overpay. We're going to have to be what Ryan Pace did. We're going to have to overpay for those receivers and tight ends because they're going to say, I'm not going to go there. My numbers are going to be diminished. I'm not going to go for less than 100,000 yards per year. It's just not. So we're going to have to overpay, and that $100 million in cap space is going to go real quick.
Correct. That's exactly my point, why it's not a one-year turnaround. But you look at their roster and look at how many young players the Jets have. The Jets have sucked for a long time.
Yes, they have.
But they keep adding good draft picks. Joe Douglas, who used to be in the Bears front office under Ryan Pace, Joe Douglas just keeps going out and getting good players, and they keep getting better.
Go ahead.
We're not there yet.
That's a good point, Matt. Keep going.
It's not that. Hoodie, when we were playing against the Commanders, it's just frustrating that it's just these are bad teams, and we can't even outclass any team. And I understand we're going to be the worst, probably in the top 5 pick, which is fine. But that there's just so much to do, and that the rebuild, we have to hit on all the draft and all these free agents. Like, you got to hit on him. And I just don't think we can do that. And I understand it's going to be a year, but then what happens when it comes to year three and then Justin doesn't have chemistry with that receiver or tight end that we get? Then it's just going to say, okay, well, who are they going to choose? Are they going to say, well, maybe we have to go for a quarterback, or maybe we have to go, you know, like, it's just, I don't want them to like put Justin, okay, next year you have to do it. Cause even this year, in year two with him and Mooney, it just seems like that chemistry is not there and they're trying to force it. It's just something's not there. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Justin or if I don't know if it's Mooney. I don't know.
Let's address it, and we appreciate your phone call. Just go back to what Cap just said moments ago, though, Matt. Like, Cap, you just said it. It's not just a one-year turnaround because Salah's there. The Jets have sucked for a long time. Giants, same thing. Giants had gone through their doldrums, but again, they had to try to build through the draft, and now they're looking good. Not just because Dayball's there, but because everything's come together. There's a plan in place, yes. But again, they had to struggle along with draft picks and being bad to get to this point where they are now. The Bears' time is not now. But God, it'd be great if it's next year. It'd be great if it's year three. So that makes sense, though, what you just said, Cap. The other teams had to struggle along to get to where they are now. Jets and Giants are relevant.
So I'm counting up the Jets. How many first and second round picks they have on their roster? 12, 13, 14. I mean, they've got, I haven't even finished yet, they got close to 20 of their roster are first and second round picks. We don't have that.
Mm-hmm. And you're 4-2.
Right. And we had people calling in here going, oh, we'll kill the Jets on the road. We'll kill the Giants. We'll beat the Falcons. No, you won't. They've got 20 first and second round. I think they've got, if I got my count right, I was doing it on the fly here with you.
Yeah.
14 first round picks on the roster.
God. Boy, that's something.
You think you're automatically guaranteed to beat the Lions? Shay, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they have three starters on the offensive line that are first round picks.
Yeah, they also have a head coach who has like no idea what he's doing in terms of game management. So that's still a coin flip to me.
Maybe. We'll see. They got talent on that team.
Some thoughts from Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus. So here's one thing. This long talk. What are we doing here? Of course, they should always have long talks, the quarterback and the head coach. Mm-hmm. It was good to know that they're communicating. Eberflus talks about the long talk with Justin Fields. Well, let's talk a little bit about sex. So the first thing you got to learn is,
man, why was the long talk with Justin Fields necessary? Just because I'm thinking, isn't it good that at least two players have come out and expressed that being close is not good? And isn't a little frustration outwardly to the public okay?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say I just wanted to visit with him just to make sure he's, you know, because he's a leader of our football team. Certainly, you know, we have the leadership council. We got leaders at each position, but he's playing quarterback. So I want to make sure that he was in a good spot and making sure that his eyes were forward going into the bye week and how we can improve our football team.
We meet all the time, so it wasn't nothing crazy. But yeah, we just talked about, you know, what our jobs, what our roles were, you know, as leaders of this team. So, you know, and really just looking forward to the future.
Did you feel good, though, to express some of that?
Express some of what?
Express your frustration last week after.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I expect, you know, every player on the team to be frustrated after we lost. So, I mean, like, it wasn't I heard your question, it wasn't like a rock bottom thing or anything like that. It was just like, I'm not happy that we lost the game. So it's like, yeah.
He has every right to feel like he's upset when the team loses.
Yeah, I thought the question, why was it necessary? Wasn't that what the question said mm-hmm. at the beginning? Why was it necessary to have a long talk? Are you kidding? That's a bad question.
It's communication.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
I just don't think the media needs to know about it. When you're coaching a team, you try to get to know everything about and what's going on with your players. Hey, Justin, we've got a mini bye. Why don't we go to lunch? Mm-hmm. Let's just talk. Tell me what you're feeling. Coach, I feel like I'm running for my life and everything's speeding up. Well, let's talk about it. It's a process. There's nothing wrong with that. Why did you feel you? Can you play the beginning of that again? Why did you feel you needed to have a long talk? Are you serious?
Man, why was a long talk with Justin Fields necessary? Just because I'm thinking, isn't it good that at least two players have come out and expressed that being close is not good? And isn't a little frustration outwardly to the public okay?
The back half of it, I don't disagree with. It's good that guys are frustrated. Why was a long talk necessary? You should have long talks all the time, especially with your quarterback.
Mark Grody and I had a long talk.
And I love Grody.
Grody and I have had long talks for a long time over the years.
Yeah, me too. I love Grody. But my point is, Matt Eberflus is not doing his job if he doesn't have long talks with his quarterback. Justin, I know you're frustrated. Mm-hmm. Let's go to lunch tomorrow. We got 3 days off. I'll meet you at Buttermilk in Vernon Hills. Let's talk.
Sure.
Okay, Coach. Let's go get some pancakes and an omelet. Let's chop it up. You want me to be honest? I feel like I'm getting blasted here, and my footwork and my processing, everything's breaking down because I think I'm going to get my head kicked in again.
We'll open the Friday folder coming up at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Ankin Law. 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Sign my ball. Your Honor, may it please the court to be able to give you Exhibit A. And that is the Chicago Bulls and Zach LaVine. Your Honor, from what I understand, Zach LaVine was supposed to be ready for the beginning of the season. Now, you here in the jury, Bulls fans, you do understand that the Bulls are supposed to take another step, but they cannot do that without Zach LaVine. So, Your Honor, if it would please the court, could you please explain what is happening with Zach LaVine in this game against Washington tonight,
in which
the Wizards are a two-point favorite?
Correct. And Zach has already been ruled out. He will not play tonight. They have not given a determination on tomorrow night's home opener against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I was told that the practice on Sunday, a few days ago, was exceptionally intense. Billy really ramped it up and challenged guys. Okay, we're 3 days from the season opener. We're going to get after it today. You'll have a couple days to recuperate. And that was the hardest Zach has gone since the knee surgery, because he was rehabbing most of the summer from the scope rather than just training his body. Mm-hmm. And that his knee, it's not like he tore something or that there's significant concern of an injury. He was sore, exceptionally sore. And they said, we think it's smart to not go crazy here and play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. I think they play again on Monday mm-hmm. at home, correct?
7 out of 11, I want to say, to
right.
start the season.
And they look at it as a marathon, not a sprint. So they expect him to play tomorrow. And then they'll see how he feels about Monday. That's what I'm being told, that there is no significant injury. It's just, hey, man, we're managing this situation, so relax.
Well, can I just tell you, thank goodness you have a DeMar DeRozan.
And the relax was not me to you, it was them to
no,
me.
No, I understood. No, I got you. I speak cap. I just understand that when I look at this team, thank goodness you have other weapons.
Yep.
Like, I was very encouraged by what I saw in the Miami game.
The defense is what encouraged me. I thought Vooch did a good job on the interior, on the glass. Io looks like a different player. And DeMar was insane. Mm-hmm. And then Dragic, 4 out of 4 in the first half from three. Otherwise, you're not tied at 59. You're losing.
I liked how they were passing to doing the extra pass. I like that.
They did.
Because that's what the Heat do. I mean, they are able to get their man. If someone could drive to the lane, they see an open shooter, they're going to kick it out for the higher percentage shot from mm-hmm. three. And I saw the Bulls do that as well. Bulls were cold early from the field. Three, inside, all of it. But they were able to heat up, and they beat Miami. Let's see if they can do that against Washington, a team that more than likely won't make the playoffs again this year.
I went back and watched some of that game again.
The All-22?
Yeah, there was not enough. It's an All-5.
the All-5?
All-10.
All right. Tell me about it.
Pat Williams did a pretty decent job defensively, especially in team defense, mm-hmm. where I've got this guy, but I'm also going to make sure I've got my responsibility on the weak side here. Mm-hmm. He did a pretty solid job there. He did an awful job at being aggressive, looking for his shot. He runs down to the corner, and he's kind of standing down there. I'm like,
didn't like that.
Dude, can we flash into the paint occasionally, put the ball on the deck, call for the basketball. There's 28 points sitting in street clothes. His name is Zach LaVine.
Can we
get some of it?
Get some. You're one of the biggest guys on the floor. Don't be passive.
And two rebounds?
Just mix. Get in there. Get in the mix.
Let's go.
Because the Bulls are short enough, or I won't say short. They just don't have the size inside. But he could be one of those guys.
And I thought Drummond, again, it's one game. They could get crushed tonight. Drummond, he gets out and runs, man. Andre Drummond is a very nice interior upgrade over Tristan Kardashian. I mean, yes, absolutely.
It's about maximizing your minutes, especially when you're a veteran player. You know, Drummond's out there for 15. Dragic is out there for 19. When you're on the floor, I'm going to need rebounds. I'm going to need shooting. You're not going to get a whole bunch of minutes here. You're not going to get starters minutes. But when you're out there, maximize your minutes when you're out there. Give us something positive.
Agreed.
Be in the positive, in the plus minus when you're out there, if you can. Coming up, we will give you the Friday folder. All the stuff we didn't get to, we'll try to get to next on Cap and Jay Hood.
And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Of his body.
It's time for the Friday folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood show.
Waddle's favorite song.
He smokes a cigarette after he hears
Waddle? It's time now for the Friday folder here.
Hey, it's Jim Rockford. Leave a message at this tone. Beep.
Hi, Jim. I'm going to break your legs if I don't get that $100 that you borrowed 2 weeks ago. Better hurry.
Waddle, love that. Is that guy still alive, James Garner?
Yeah. You hear from Tom Scherer from time to time, don't you? Here's Shay Norley now with the Friday folder. Things we couldn't get to because of Cap. Here's Shay.
Well, speaking of Tom Waddle, he spoke with Mike Wilbon, as him and Sylvie do every week on Waddle and Sylvie. Yesterday, I was listening to it, and they had quite the heated engagement, and I found a little bit of the audio to be kind of bizarre, so I wanted to play it here for you boys right now.
Ball. Are they spending enough, Michael? They're 13th or 14th in salary cap. They're not in the luxury tax. In a competitive
They're not going in the luxury tax. Remember who your owners are. They're not doing that.
They draw more fans than any other team.
That doesn't matter. They're not going. They're not. First of all, luxury tax is about wealth. The Bulls aren't one of the wealthiest teams in the league. They're not, Sylvie. So you can't expect people to spend money they don't have. They're not the Golden State Warriors.
But shouldn't
they don't have that.
Shouldn't we demand that?
They, like, no, 13th? You can't demand people be wealthier than they are.
Look at that. If they're not wealthy enough to support the team, then
they can support the team.
Sell the team to Michael Wilbon, who is wealthy enough to pay $400 million.
Yeah, your Kornheiser would go in the luxury
tax. There you go.
No, he wouldn't. He didn't. Please believe.
Okay, the Bulls are worth $2.9 billion.
Correct.
What's Mike talking about?
I understand Mike's point that he says the Bulls are not owned by a group that is Steve Cohen-like. Okay. They're worth $2.9 billion. They're in Chicago. They should not be the 19th payroll in the NBA. You're not going to be Golden State? I get it. Top 10? I don't think that's asking too much.
I do think that that's bizarre. And so, he's an owner and rich, but not that rich, so don't have expectations. Come on, Mike. I know you covered a lot of Washington Bullets games, but Chicago is a big town, a big city.
Yes.
His hometown.
Yes.
He should know better than that.
Yes.
St. George Muir saw walking through that door.
Yes. I understand that they aren't, again, they're not Joe Lacob. When we played that ad nauseum and we're going to keep it burned into the system,
yep.
Where he's maniacal and he doesn't care what it costs. He's going to spend more this year in payroll and luxury tax fines than he paid for the team in 2010. Shay. We aren't part of that.
Go ahead, Shay.
Top 10, legit.
Mm-hmm. A classic movie is getting a sequel. I want to know, is Nothing Sacred? A Christmas Story is getting a sequel with an older version of Ralphie, the main character in that movie, and it will be on HBO Max next month.
And the name of the movie is?
A Christmas Story Christmas.
A Christmas Story. 2, Electric Boogaloo. You don't have to redo a classic. You really don't have to. It's fine the way it is. I'm not saying it will flop. I'm just saying there's a movie there that people watch like every year around the holidays, Cap. If it's on reruns, people will watch. You don't have to redo that.
Well, I don't know which channel it is, but one of those like USA or TBS, whatever it is, just plays A Christmas Story.
TBS, I think.
Wall to wall all day on Christmas Day.
But I've still never seen it.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm sure someone that you know has seen it.
My wife.
So, I mean, it's a classic movie. You don't have to remake it. I mean, here's when we've run out of ideas. Remember when I told you a couple of days? I know you don't remember. I'll say it again. You remember I was reading in Variety how primetime programming might start to shrink. Instead of 7 to 10, it will be 7 to 9. Like, the reason why that is because television's run out of ideas. And also, movie houses have run out of ideas, too. That's why I have so many sequels. Anytime that you're starting to see game shows on primetime again like it was when you and I were growing up, Joker's Wild, Tic-Tac-Doe, and all this
match
stuff.
Match game.
Password. All this stuff is coming back. They run out of ideas. They're just reprising what was popular 40 years ago.
That's why you can write, you'll have a job forever. You're creative.
If you can write and do something different that we've seen.
Correct.
Great. But to redo that movie means you run out of ideas for the holidays. Shay.
A Christmas Story Christmas.
A Christmas Story Christmas.
You can't come up with anything better? Like, we're talking about be creative. At least get a decent title.
A Christmas Story Christmas. Unbelievable.
Sunday Bloody Sunday. Shay.
All right. Hoodie, you sent this to me earlier in the week. Olivia Wilde, the actress, has apparently a special salad dressing that she makes, this wonderful recipe her ex-husband, Jason Sudeikis, really seemed to enjoy. Because when he found out one night that she was taking her special salad dressing to her muse, Harry Styles' house, Jason Sudeikis laid in front of the car to stop her from taking it there.
You got to add that to the routine, Charlie, when you do stand-up again. There's got to be something with this, right?
That's a good act out. I could see that.
I mean,
that is love for your salad dressing.
How special is that salad dressing, do you think, Cap?
What's in that salad dressing?
He's literally laying his life down for it.
I think I would say human herbs and spices.
Please don't take the salad dressing.
I mean, Sudeikis, again, when you see him on TV, you know, nice guy, you would think. But when he's in this relationship, he's like, of all things, that's a deal breaker. And this should be a deal breaker for you, Shay. The salad dressing is a deal breaker. Oh, my God. I'm going to lay in front of a car to make sure you don't send your special salad dressing over to Harry Styles' house.
It's not that she's going to the affair, the muse's home. It's that she's taking the salad dressing. That's what threw him over the top.
But what?
Not the salad vinaigrette.
That's where you draw the line.
I'm looking at a Yahoo Life article. It says the recipe is mixed 2 tablespoons Grey Poupon mustard with 2 tablespoons good red wine vinegar. Then, whisking constantly, slowly add 6 tablespoons olive oil until the vinaigrette is thick and creamy.
Pardon the expression.
It doesn't sound that special. I would not lay in front of a car for the salad dressing.
Cap?
Yeah, I would not either. Now, Mindy's chocolate chip cookies, different stuff.
I mean, that's just bizarre behavior. I just think that's great. All right. What else do we have here? I mean, I just can't. I don't know how we get around that. I mean, that was just amazing.
Well, how about this? Supposedly a whale penis washed up on a Queensland beach.
No, I'm still here.
I've heard it all. Shay.
A woman on an Australian beach, an Australian woman, took a TikTok video of a large gray intestine-looking object.
Mm-hmm.
And posted it on TikTok and asked, what the hell is this? Very quickly, everybody in the comments, that's a whale penis.
How can you readily identify a whale's penis when you see one?
How do you know what exactly that is?
So marine biologist types weighed in, and apparently the whale penis can get up to 10 feet long.
And now a story about Antonio Brown.
Hoodie's wrists are on fire today.
I mean, seriously.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So someone saw a whale's penis. And then what was the result? I mean, when you said people were able to identify it. What did they do with it? I guess that's the question. Afterwards.
Well, I think she left it on the
beach.
Make
a bench out of it in front of the house?
Was it Ron Kittle?
Yeah. Everybody Ron, warned her strongly, don't touch it. They said, do not touch it. You might get sick. Do not touch it. Let the appropriate people come and remove it.
You can get sick from removing a whale's penis, you say.
You can, dude, you don't touch anything that comes off of an animal. Like, if you see a bird drop out of the sky, would you touch it? No, because you could get sick. Anything that's severed or dead from an animal, err on the side of caution.
Cap, you did that. Right? When you were a kid, dead bird, dead worms.
Yeah.
Did you pick that up?
Oh, absolutely.
Dead mice?
No. I hate mice.
Mm-hmm.
No shot.
I hate rats, but yeah. yet I've been in the business for 30 years.
You worked with some. Worked for some.
Yep. Shay.
All right, this final story, Hoodie. Black Friday is not sacred. Prime Video will have an NFL game on Black Friday starting next year.
Come on, man. I mean, give me my middle-of-the-road college football. Get out of there.
We got the Egg Bowl.
Come on, Charlie.
I need my Michigan State, Penn State left alone, damn it.
The NFL, just keep your beak out of it, man. You got all the other days in the calendar. We know that you can run anytime you want. You ran at 3 o'clock and took Ellen off the air during the pandemic. Stop. Leave me alone.
Who does Penn State play, by the way, this week? Is that Minnesota?
Minnesota.
So Boyle's daughter goes to school there. He said it's the whiteout game. That is an awesome thing on TV. I'll watch that simply because it's the whiteout game. I think it's really cool.
Yep. And me, I'd run the other way. And that, my friends, is the Friday Folder here on ESPN 1000. Well, I mean, have you read any history books? We will have coming up. The Captain J Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Back after this, Charlie.
This hour brought to you by Twin Peaks. Got an appetite for football? Head to your favorite Twin Peaks and catch games all weekend. Grab a 29-degree draft beer and enjoy 360 degrees of TVs.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you with us. Don't forget Monday. Say, what are you guys going to do on Monday? The Bears game day Monday. We get ready for the Bears and Patriots.
Absolutely, we do.
Get ready to see whether or not we are going to change our thoughts over the weekend on where the Bears will they cover the 8? Will they win the ball game? I mean, will things change? We'll find out.
I hope they win because it's a hell of a lot more fun. I'll be surprised if they do. I hope they do.
And now, time for the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Obviously, a very disturbed person.
And throwing them at people.
Yes. Like, we've seen a lot down here. Nothing like this extreme.
No.
Literally had something burning at the front door of the Chicago Theater.
Now, that was scary because...
That was scary because if it ignited any further, yeah, you could take the building.
Downtown Chicago.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
And that's the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by...
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore have cooked up the city's best dining experience. And I got to sample how they cure and cook the Newski bacon, mm-hmm, dress it up with presentation. I was there cooking in the kitchen the other day for a TV feature. You got to get the Newski bacon. It's literally an insane appetizer. Number two on their most popular appetizer list behind lobster escargot, which is also ridiculous.
Let's see, so you've had your cooking chops going here for a few weeks here, going from restaurant to restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're looking forward to your next life as a chef.
I'm at Mimas Taste of Cuba next week. That'll be fun.
You'll be cooking there as well.
Yes.
So apparently things aren't working well here because you are doing a lot of cooking other places. So you're going to be in someone's kitchen.
Just a TV feature.
Yeah. Well, for now, it's a TV feature. Might be reality for you soon. But I just want to know, you keep hanging around me. I'll be right next to you as a sous chef.
Bring it on.
Besides that, Cap, besides the hamburger, what do you think is your best dish? You've been working on a lot of stuff lately. What do you think is your best dish?
I love to do scallops. Mm-hmm. Big fan of doing scallops in a blackened cast iron skillet.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's not black or cast iron, you can't do it.
It's the cast iron skillet. I like to cook the scallops and then take it and put it into the oven, give a little baking to it. I use a hot pepper olive oil.
What if the skillet
was delicious?
The skillet was brown. Could you still get that job done, or does it have to be black and cast iron?
I don't know. I buy the cast iron skillet, and it happens to be black.
Right on. So what else? What else do you think is good? Because, again, I have had the Cap burgers, which I've said on the show before, are fantastic.
Yep. It's how you pack the burger.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. How you pack it. You get the air out of it. And you do not put the seasoning like into the whole batch of meat mm-hmm. and then make the patty. You season the top and bottom, both sides.
Yeah.
But you do not put the seasoning in the middle because as you cook it, you cure the meat with the sea salt and pepper mix that I use. Learned that from my guy David Flom as well.
Oh, he told you that too. They gave you the secret. Wow.
And when you pack them, you use some saran wrap underneath, put the meat on top in the press, and then put the saran wrap on top again, and you push it down and you work the air out of it. So you get a much more dense burger.
It's awesome. Julia Kaplan here.
There you go.
Telling us how to be able to get this done, to get the flavor, to keep the flavor in.
Yes, and let me tell you one other thing. The great Carmen DeFalco was chastising, I think, Merkin one day because he took the spatula and he pressed it down. That's the stupidest thing you ever do. Carmen's right.
Yeah.
You only turn a burger one time when you're cooking it.
Yes.
One time.
Yes.
Cook one side, turn it over, and you do not press it down. The juices make it delicious.
Yes.
Unless you're making smash burgers, but that's a different deal.
It's a different concept.
Right. And also keep the raisins out of the potato salad.
Ugh, I hate raisins.
Yeah. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Greeny's coming up next, followed by Carmen and Yurko at 12. Juan Lee Sylvie, our teammates, are going to be at Twin Peaks in Oakbrook Terrace. If you're in the area, stop by and see Juan Lee Sylvie from 2 to 6 at Twin Peaks. Black and Abdallah at 6 right into Phillies and Padres baseball. Let's do this Monday.
Let's do it on a game day Monday. We'll get you set.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Chaylar. Thank you, Charlie. So long, everybody.
Jake.
So long, everybody. From Chicago.